Well, good morning, Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're joining us today. I want to especially welcome those who are joining us from the Tuncannon campus, from Halstead's campus, from Montrose campus, from the Vestal campus, as well as from the Conklin campus. Thank you for joining us online today. It's been a busy couple of weeks, and I hope that you enjoyed today's service. I hope you've been enjoying it. Some of you are probably sitting in your living room watching with your pajamas, a cup of coffee, a cup of hot chocolate. Some of you may still be on vacation, and there's others who are probably traveling back and watching from their cars. But I'm just glad that you're here with us today. I do want to thank those who helped us, all of our volunteers who helped us pull off all 25 Christmas services that we had at all of our physical locations, as well as our online campus. It was exciting to see all those people walk through our doors and also those people who joined us online. It's hard to believe that another year has passed. As I think about this past year and I think about what God has done, it's just a testimony to the faithfulness of God. We serve a huge God, and God has been on the move doing big things. I don't know if you know this, but this past year we saw 96 people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Almost every week we had a carnation on our platform, and we were celebrating the goodness of God and the blessing of God. What's interesting, in those 96 people who got saved, almost 60% of them, over 55 people who got saved, were above the age of 18. That is unheard of, that we have all of these adults getting saved through this ministry. Again, it's a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Also this year, we were able to see over 50 people take their next step through the waters of baptism to identify themselves as a follower of Jesus Christ. We serve a big God, and I'm grateful for what God has done in 2019. But as I shared at our celebration a couple of months ago, I challenged our people, all of the Bridgewater people, I challenged them that as we approach 2020, we cannot lose sight of the mission. We need to continue to have 2020 vision into the future. The problem that I see in a lot of churches is that somewhere down the road, somewhere in their history, they begin to lose sight of what God has called them to. They begin to lose sight of the vision. They begin to lose sight of the mission. The reason they exist becomes somewhat blurred, and their vision becomes impaired. I hear about churches constantly who are going through difficult times, and somewhere it's been a leadership issue. Sometimes it's a vision issue. But we see churches that once had an influence in their community, a gospel influence in their communities, going away. I just read this week about another church in our area, and they put this on their Facebook site, and this is what they said about their ministry. "It is with profound sadness that I write this post. On Sunday, December 1st, 2019, after 119 years, the doors of the church were closed for the last time. The decision did not come lightly, but rather it was an agonizing decision that took 2 years. During that time, we prayed individually and as a body that God would reveal His will to us, and the lack of attendance on Sundays and the enormous cost of maintaining the facilities, God revealed that there was only one clear choice, and it was time to close the doors of the church." It went on and said this, "My prayer is that although it will never be a church again, it may profit the community in the future as a community center for all to share." And the pastor kind of finished up by saying this, "When I received the calling, I never dreamed I would have to close the door of a church." Folks, I want you to know that our mission is clear. It's unchanging. The vision that we have right now is unchanging. We know what God has called us to do. And my challenge to the people of all of our campuses is this. We need to be faithful to what God has called us to. About 4 years ago, when I took over as lead pastor of Bridgewater, I made a statement on a platform at a celebration, and I said this, "I want to start a movement." And probably more honestly, I should have said, "I want to continue a movement." God had been on the move. God had been working in our communities, but I felt like God had more for this church. And so we set some goals back then of saying, as we move forward in the future, we want to accomplish some of these goals. Some of the goals that we set back then, 4 years ago, was that by 2020, by this coming year, we want to average over 2,000 people on Sunday mornings at all of our campuses combined. Another goal that we set was that we wanted to be a debt-free ministry. At that point in time, we had 7 loans. Our debt was $2,135,000. And we said it was an enormous task, an enormous goal to put before us, to have 2,000 people on a weekly basis and also to be debt-free. At that time, we were averaging about 1,087 people on Sunday mornings. And as we look to today, 2019, right now at all of our campuses, we're averaging between 1,800 and 1,900 people. God has been faithful. As we started our vision campaign, I said it was my goal to become debt-free. And this year, as we started the campaign, we were around $860,000 in debt with two loans remaining. And our goal was to pay off one of those loans. One of those loans came due in the beginning of December. And our goal is through this campaign, by the end of the year, to pay that loan off, which would leave us with one remaining debt. And next year at this time, we'd be owning a little over $200,000 on it. And we believe that we can accomplish that goal. Now, I know some people got a little concerned about our drive to be debt-free. But I want you to know, in the midst of it, I think God has blessed us both financially and spiritually. Even though we've been pushing for a debt-free ministry, even though we've been pushing towards this attendance of 2,000, I think God has continued to show up and proven himself to say that he's honored that. I don't know why God laid that on my heart 4 years ago, but it's been exciting to see the things that God has done through the years, over the last 4 years, and I anticipate that it will continue to do that next year. Do you know that over the last 4 years, in the midst of this debt reduction, in the midst of this push for more attendance, this is what God has done amongst our midst. We have seen 356 people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've seen over 290 people get baptized. We have watched God do some amazing things in our midst. And not only in the walls of our campuses or online, what God has allowed us to do is to reach out into our community and to help other churches. We have staff members who are passionate about consulting with other churches, helping them understand what ministry is about, understanding what kind of God is using in our church. And maybe if we help them and if we're open-handed with them, maybe God can do a work through their ministry as well. We've had our line conferences to where we do training through all of our campuses, and we've invited other churches to be a part of that. We've had all access. And what we have watched is God work not only in the midst of our church, Bridgewater, but we've seen God use us as a church to minister to other people. In that same period of time, over 4 years, we have launched two new campuses, and we've moved to another campus. But right now, the mission's before us. We have multiple campuses that have space issues. We have a campus that has a major parking issue. And I believe we have three campuses right now that are positioned to launch in the next couple of years. It's my prayer that in the future, we will launch three campuses in the next 5 years as we continue to go forward. Man, it sounds like a big plan. But I know that we have a big God, and God has continued to be with us. His hand of blessing has been on our ministry. I was in one church years ago where I felt like the hand of God's blessing was removed from the church, and I watched these people wander. And all I'm praying is that God's hand of blessing would remain on this ministry as we move forward in 2020, that we would have perfect vision when it comes to the mission that God has called us to. No, I'm not promising that we'll never go in debt again. There may be a season where we go into debt to help us accomplish the mission. But for right now, I believe God has called us to be a debt-free ministry. And my prayer is by the end of next year, not only will we have over 2,000 people in attendance, but my prayer is that we will be a debt-free ministry by the end of next year. I was reminded recently of the story of Israel. When Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and they made their sojourn out of slavery and to the borders of the land that God had promised them. It's an interesting story. It's a story that's filled with good things, and it's a story that's filled with difficult things. It all started when Moses saw this burning bush, and God came and called him and said, I want you to lead my people. And Moses stuttered in speech and felt like he was inadequate to serve. And when God said, I want to use you, this is how he responded in Exodus chapter 4. I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and of tongue. But this is how God responded in Exodus 4:12. But God said, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. I don't know about you, but there's times that I feel like inadequate in the mission that God has called us to. But I think he's asked us to be faithful. So Moses did what God called him to do, and he went and approached Pharaoh. And he relayed the message that God gave to him, and he said this, Pharaoh, you need to let God's people go. And Pharaoh responded and said, no, I'm not letting them go. And so God sent a series of 10 plagues. And it was after the final plague that Pharaoh agreed to let the people go. Not only were the plagues a demonstration that, the God of Israel was a real God, a powerful God, a God to be contended with. But it was a sign to the Israelites to say this: even though Israel had been unfaithful to God through the years, God was still their God, and God still wanted to work through them. So as they left Egypt and headed out on this journey to the land of promise, they came to a place called the Red Sea. Pharaoh's heart changed. He wanted his slaves back. And so he started to pursue the Israelites. And as the Israelites were camped by the Red Sea, they saw Pharaoh and his army coming after them. And as they looked, they began to complain. They began to murmur. They said to Moses, "It would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." At one point they said this: "Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die?" But even through their complaining, God showed up. God showed up and he parted that Red Sea, and all of the Israelites were able to cross on dry ground. And as they crossed over, the Israelites had to be reminded of the faithfulness of God, that God was leading them somewhere to a land of promise. And as they crossed through the Red Sea, they looked back and here came Pharaoh and the army. And as they watched that sea close in on them and God destroy that army, they had to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Throughout that entire journey, God continued to show up. In front of them, by day, there was a pillar of cloud. At night, there was a pillar of fire. And it said that that pillar never left them in this entire journey. A reminder that God was with them and that God was faithful. God provided them manna, which was like bread. He provided quail. He even provided water from a rock. Even when there was an uprising from the Israelites, God came in and squelched that uprising. When there were people who were causing dissension in the ranks, God kind of squashed it. And he continued to lead them to this land. They came to the edge of the Jordan River. And as they looked over the Jordan River, what they saw was a land that God had promised them. And so they sent this reconnaissance team in, 12 guys, 12 spies, to look at the land and say, okay, this is what God's promised us. Let's see what we find. When the 12 spies came back, they looked at the land and said, it's true what God said. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that has vineyards that we didn't plant. There's gardens that we didn't plant. There's wells that we did not dig. But you have to realize that there are fortified cities. It's going to be hard. There are military men. They're not going to just roll over and let us take their land. They're going to fight, and we're going to have to fight to take possession of what God has given us. At the end of the report, they kind of had a vote, and Israel voted with their feet. 10 spies said, there's no way we can do this. But there was 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, who said, with God's help, we can do this. We need to follow God. We need to follow the faithfulness of God. We need to trust and we need to obey. But the Israelites voted with their feet when they followed the lead of 10 spies who said, we can't do this. And at that point, we see Israel turn back and begin to wander in a desert for 40 years. And it tells us that a generation of Israelites passed away and they were never able to see the promise, the land that God had promised them in the Abrahamic covenant. Here's the concern for me. As I was reminded of that story, every church, every organization, Christian organization, comes to those places in their ministry where they come up to the edge of the Jordan River, where they come to the place where they're by the Red Sea. And as they look across, they realize that God's calling them to do something. But at some point in their history, they no longer have that tenacity to continue to follow where God is leading. They've lost sight of the mission. The vision has become blurred. My prayer is for Bridgewater, for all of Bridgewater at every campus, is that this year and in the years to come, we will never lose sight of the mission. I don't want to come down the road someday and realize that 20 years from now, there's a note that's posted online that's saying, unfortunately, because we lost sight of the vision, we're closing the doors of a church or of a campus. The mission is clear. We find it in Matthew chapter 28, and it says this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. I want you to catch that. Surely I am with you always. Whether it was with the Israelites or whether it's with Bridgewater, he is with us to the very end of the age. Someone once wrote about this story of Egypt, and it said this, or the Israelites leaving Egypt. God had promised them victory. The land he commanded them to go in and take was already theirs. They simply had to trust and obey. But this they did not do. God will never lead us where his grace cannot provide for us or his power cannot protect us. Indeed, the Israelites had seen the powerful hand of God at work during the plagues and miracles of the Exodus. Yet, like many people, they walked by sight and not by faith. And their unbelief displeased God. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can I challenge you in 2020? Whether you're from Tunkhannock, online, Halstead, Montrose, Vestal, or Conklin, can I challenge you that 2020 will be a year that we will walk by faith. And wherever God leads us, we'll cross that river and we'll trust him. Even though it may be hard, even though it may be difficult, we'll cross the river because that's what God's called us to do. God, I thank you so much for the things that you've accomplished in this ministry. Literally over centuries, over 200 years old, you have showed up, and this church has been responsible for planting churches hundreds of years ago, and we've been responsible for planting campuses in recent days. God, I pray that you would use this ministry to impact this region, that people would think differently, people would believe differently, people would even speak differently. When it comes down to the laws of this area, I pray that they would change because the gospel has changed them. God, use us. And when it's difficult, give us the courage. When we're worried, help us to hold on to the mission and the vision that you've given to this church. But I pray that in the days ahead, we will accomplish your goal. We will take new ground and we'll give you the glory for everything. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen.